This is the Adam Gold Show.
Let's get to my friend Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, national columnist, not even just national college basketball writer and a basketball Hall of Famer. He is writes about everything. He is also a fellow Liverpool fan, and I say that because over the holiday break, I chose my side. I could not deny my overall infatuation with watching Salah play, and I love the club. They score a lot of goals, but it's fun. So you never walk alone, Mike.
You know, that's the thing. That's one of the, like, how could anybody who wants to become a fan and doesn't have a natural affiliation or you know, some sort of weird backdoor way in, the way I became a Liverpool fan because I fell in love with Michael Owen during the 1998 World Cup. How can anybody who's just sort of looking at the landscape not choose the team that has a song and a tradition like You'll Never Walk Alone? It is the coolest thing.
It is cool. And I'm at one point, I will go to Anfield, and I know one of your favorite pictures is of you and your wife at Anfield. So we'll talk about that maybe if we have time at the end of this. You are also a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Dennis Cox, by the way, sitting in for Alec, is also a huge Steelers fan, and he texted me all throughout yesterday's, not even the Steelers game, it was the night game, the game between the Raiders and Chargers. First of all, I want to talk about Ben for a second. The last 3 years, it was pretty clear. I mean, he's hurt, but even last year and this year, I mean, they needed an alternative to Ben. And yesterday was at times awesome and vintage, and at times, oh gosh, why is he still playing? But the run has been pretty, I think, captivating more than anything else, because you knew it was the last ride. So just, what are your thoughts on Ben? And like, they have a chance, I don't think a great one, but they made the playoffs. They get a chance to play again.
Yeah, you know, I think one thing that I feel is that although I don't think he's at the level he was in 2014 or 15 or something like that, I would have liked to see him play these last 2 years behind a competent offensive line.
Yeah.
This year's very young, incompetent offensive line, last year's very old, incompetent offensive line, changed what he is as a quarterback. First of all, it took away his running game, and that made him and the offense somewhat one-dimensional. And then it also put him in a position where protecting him was a challenge because he doesn't move like Josh Allen does.
Right.
He was never a great mover in terms of speed or getting downfield, but he could move around and stay up. But now he struggles with that, and they don't want him to take the shots because they want to keep him healthy. He's older. He's almost 40. So I think I would have been curious, but I will say this. When you look at the way some quarterbacks go out, he's not going out feeble.
Right.
He's not going out broken. He's not at the top of his game. But I would have been curious to see if you put a medium level offensive line in front of him, either of the last 2 years, what he would have looked like.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, to me, Ben shows you flashes of old Ben, and then shows you 40-year-old Ben who knows it's over. But and you know, as long as you don't get beat because of the latter, the former can get you through. And I think the former got them through yesterday. One more thing before I ask you about the Raiders Chargers. Do you think we're finally going to get to a point where people stop wondering if Mike Tomlin is Hall of Fame caliber as a head coach?
I don't think anybody who really thinks has any question about that.
Even Terry Bradshaw?
I think he took a shot, used some language, but I think he knows how good Mike is. The fact that he has begun his career with 15 consecutive non-losing seasons, I mean, that's unparalleled in the history of the game, and it's often by his detractors sloughed off as, yeah, but he had a franchise quarterback. Well, go check the number of 7-9 seasons that the New Orleans Saints had, that Sean Payton had with Drew Brees. It wasn't an inordinate number, but there were at least two, maybe three. And so it's not just having a franchise quarterback. Plus, there's the fact that with that franchise quarterback really at the end of his career, he still pulls out a 9-7-1.
Right.
With that franchise quarterback absent in 2019, he still puts out an 8-8 with a quarterback who played his next season in the Canadian Football League. one of the quarterbacks.
Right.
So it just shows how really gifted he is. You know, I follow a gentleman on Twitter named Trey Essex, who Northwestern grad. He played several years for the Steelers as an offensive lineman, and he lives here in Indy. And yesterday, people were saying, "How do they?" You know, all the Steeler writers saying, "How do they do this?" And
and
his response was two words: Mike Tomlin.
Yep. He's great. I love Tomlin. You know, I've been a Jet fan. I was a Jet fan my whole life, and finally had enough, and that's fine. I mean, I only have so much room for fandom, and now that I've taken on Liverpool, my bandwidth for fandom has been even decreased. But the only thing that would ever get me back to being a Jets fan is if Mike Tomlin ever, because I don't know, became their head coach. I will follow Tomlin. I'm a borderline Steelers fan because of Mike Tomlin. I have such incredible respect for him. So tell me what you were going through watching the Chargers and Raiders almost tie, which would have knocked the Steelers back out of the playoffs.
A little bit of a funny story. I was on Big Ten Network last night, mm-hmm. and we had a post-game show after Maryland versus Wisconsin, and so that I was on the air for I was in the studio for a good 45 minutes or so, and then we did Basketball and Beyond, so that's another hour. So I told myself, okay, I'm not going to look at the score. We didn't have it on in the studio, so I'm just not going to look at the score. I don't want the distraction while I'm trying to do this job, and I can't, you know, I'll check it near the end. And so then we were just approaching our last segment. And it was close to 11 Eastern, somewhere around there. And I thought, okay, I can check now. And I look at it, and it's 29-15 Raiders.
14, 29-14.
29-14 yep. Raiders. And I'm like, well, there's no way this is ending in time now. 29-14, who puts up 29 points? And so I thought, okay, that's it. They're in. And then I come out. We finished the last segment. I come out, and the Chargers just put up a touchdown and are going for two. And then they hit that, and then I started to sweat. And that last drive, the number of fourth downs they hit, the penalty that extended it, it's just and on a touchdown pass, you have a defensive back to the receiver's right and defensive back to his left, and you really can't get in there and knock down that pass and end the game and get into the playoffs, really? It was hard. It was maybe the hardest thing I've ever had to watch.
Did you watch the overtime where, frankly,
of course,
it could have very easily ended right there?
Oh, yes, absolutely. When the Raiders got past the 50 and started to hand off, you know, I got that really sick feeling in my stomach, and they're not calling timeout or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the I don't know whether the Raiders changed their approach when the Chargers called timeout, because you knew they were going to hand it off to Jacobs anyway. I think it really what changed the Raiders' approach was succeeding. Run hitting for as far as it went. You know, everybody wants to find a narrative and blame it on the timeout, but they were going to run that play, and if it hit, they were still going, you know, they were still going to kick the ball because they want to win the game. I mean, I'll be honest, I was a little disappointed. No, I was a ton disappointed in America's sports fans via Twitter that rooting for the tie. Like, who roots for that? That's not, you know, you root for one or the other, whether it's because your money's on it or whatever. You want a winner. You don't want, like, that was the lamest Twitter meme in the history of Twitter memes.
Well, I think because it would have been so unique, I understood it. But I think, and I was going to respond last night, but honestly, it was late, and I just didn't feel like getting involved with other people. That the bigger issue, or not the bigger issue, but people forget that the Raiders did want to win the game. They absolutely wanted to win the game. They were going to attempt a field goal, whether it was a 55-yarder or a 47-yarder. They were going to attempt a field goal. And it's possible that the Chargers would have called a timeout just in case the Raiders missed the field goal, where they would have a chance to pick up 15 yards and then send their kicker out to attempt a field goal. So I think they would have called another timeout had they had the opportunity. But yeah, the notion that these teams would kneel it out and, you know, treat it like SEC fans, who are probably more you know, South Carolina or Ole Miss fans who only root for the league because their teams don't win. That, like, this was not going to be AFC West pride. That, oh, let's drag both of our teams in. You don't get more money if both of your teams make the playoffs. So what the teams were going to try and win.
What America needed last night, Adam, was a and NBC should have had this ready to go, because Chris Collinsworth was frankly nauseating during the game.
Yeah.
I think he's a great analyst, but I thought his approach to that game was atrocious. What America needed was a quick dose of Herm Edwards. You play to win the game.
Uh-huh.
That's what sports are about. It's not about this jokey stuff. Oh, wouldn't it be funny? No, it's you. That's what competition is. That if you're not gonna if you're not gonna be out about competition, why are you a sports fan?
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you on that. I was going to talk about the title game, but we're running out of time, and I want to ask you a basketball question if we have time for football tonight. I probably will ask you one question about it. What is the record in the modern era of college basketball, since we have expanded to 64 and now 68 teams in the NCAA tournament? What is the record for a conference placing teams into the NIT? Because I think the ACC might set that record.
Oh, that's good. I like that. You know, it is, when I do the brackets for Fox, it is a challenge with the ACC. And you have teams like Louisville that was sitting around on the 12 line in the play in the first four. You know, Carolina, for all its ability, and maybe Saturday turns it around, but their resume was pretty lean.
Yep.
I think Miami's an interesting team now because their metrics are awful. I mean, they're 80th in the net.
Yeah.
But, you know, the winning streak they're on is not insignificant. I mean, they've got good victims in there. A road win at Penn State, Indiana couldn't get that. They've beaten Wake. And obviously going into Duke, that's going to be the best road win anybody gets this year, almost certainly. So interesting to see what they do with what they've accomplished to this point. But it is, you know, the ACC is not what it used to be. And look, Jim Phillips is as good as there is in terms of commissioners. He hasn't been in the job long enough to be a great commissioner, but you couldn't have hired a better person.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
I think with where they stand, it will be wise for them to get together after this season and say, okay, what do we need to do to get us back to being the ACC?
I don't know what the answer for that is. Honestly, you've got, Duke is obviously at a pretty high level, but they're going to go through a transition. I think John Shire is going to be fine. They certainly don't have a lacking of talent next year. I mean, Shire, who is largely responsible for the talent on this team, albeit with the greatest closer, but Shire has certainly done a very good job in recruiting this crop. As long as he can manage the game and shepherd them through some tough times. And Kay will do that this year. I think they'll be fine, but we got transition in Chapel Hill. Florida State is taking a step back this year, but I think Leonard Hamilton is great. But he's also, I know he looks like he's 40, but he's in his 70s. I mean, it's ridiculous that Leonard Hamilton looks as young as he does when, you know, being in his 70s. But you got Jim Boeheim at Syracuse. I don't know. I don't know if the guy at Louisville, drawing a blank on his name, Chris Mack is any good. I really don't. I mean, I think he is, but I'm not. He hasn't exactly proven it at Louisville.
He is. It's just, how do you get a hold of your circumstance? I mean, he walks in the door. They've got the investigation.
Sure.
Several. The hearing going. You know, all that. The process. I mean, you don't do what he did for more than a decade
at Xavier, right?
And not be really good. It's just a question of making Louisville work. And, you know, he hasn't made a lot of great moves. He's made some really bad moves. And it's not worked to this point. But I wouldn't say he's not good. It's just the problem is sometimes you hire the right person and he gets on the wrong side of the ball, so to speak. And do you have the patience to let that person get back on the right side of it? And if you don't, then you start over again. And do you get someone as good as that?
Yeah, no, I'm not advocating for Louisville making a move. I mean, I think ultimately it's
there are some who are.
I know. Well, I mean, fans are going to fan. You should have heard what was going on here as North Carolina couldn't beat anybody for a while. All right, final thing. We have this college football game tonight, Alabama and Georgia for the national championship. Should be a great college football game. There will be tons of future NFL stars on the field at the same time. But to me, the number one story about this is about what isn't going to happen. And that is, it appears that the committee to expand the playoff reached an impasse again. There wasn't consensus, and that we're going to be here probably until 24 before right. we get expansion of the playoff. I'm not a playoff expansion advocate. What do you think is standing in the way?
I think the number one thing is that as I understand it, that if they expand in the near term, that gives ESPN exclusive rights to the expansion,
right.
and I think that they want it to be an open process. I think that's a big part of it, and I think that honestly the biggest obstacle to this is what happened with the SEC and Oklahoma and Texas. If that had not happened when it happened. Let's just say that, okay, they went through that expansion process, meeting, hearings, panel, whatever, back in June.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came and said, okay, do you want to do this? Everybody said, yeah, that sounds cool, as long as we can work it out so that when we get to the end of this contract, we can open it up to everybody else. Let's do that. And then maybe like a year down the road or, you know, after they sign all those contracts, then Texas and Oklahoma say, hey, we're out.
Right.
If that had happened, that would be different. But the way that all went down, when you have Bob Bowlesby in a room with Greg Sankey for however many meetings they had and never comes up and never says a word. And then all of a sudden, you know, they close those meetings off and they say, this is what we want to do. And then, oh, by the way, we're taking Texas and Oklahoma from you. That was a bad look all
yep.
around. It really was. That's not how you do business, man. It wasn't good. And I understand that. That Sankey couldn't say no, Oklahoma couldn't say no.
Sure.
It all really came down to one Texas bigwig that said we're not any good and it's the league's fault, which it wasn't, because Oklahoma's really good.
Yeah.
But they decided that, and so they said we're taking our ball, and SEC couldn't say no,
sure.
and Oklahoma couldn't say. But there are ways that all of that could have been done more professionally.
Yeah, there's no question. And I've been saying since the Alliance was formed that the Alliance was formed for one reason and one reason only, to slow the roll of this entire process. It was not formed for scheduling. It was not formed for anything other than pump the brakes. We'll get to it. It doesn't do the Big Ten any good to do this. The Big Ten would benefit as much as the SEC from an expanded playoff, maybe more than the SEC. But they recognized that the SEC was sort of kind of strong arming everybody, and they did not want to feel like the middle child. Mike DeCourcy, you never walk alone, sir. I'm happy to be on board with the Reds. We'll have to survive a month without Salah and Mane.
We'll take you with the Steelers too, man. You sound like you're on the fence, so.
I am.
You know, now that you've chosen the proper soccer team, it's time to convert you to the ideal football team, and then you'd be like, you know, the greatest talk show host in all of America.
It's possible. It's possible. I have a long way to go for that. Sir, thank you so much.
Not that far, man.
Oh, man, you're
not
nice.
Not that far.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Adam. Thanks.